This is the ancestors saying. His name is Kyogen Chikan Zen Master, who attained enlightenment when he heard the sound of the rock hitting the bamboo while he was cleaning his yard, the temple yard. When he became a monk, one day he was asked by teacher, say something about the self before the parent's birth. Then Kyogen Zen Master couldn't answer to these questions. So after that, he was contemplating day by day about this koan, the what is the self before the parent's birth. It is said he practiced under his teacher for many years, concentrating on this koan. Finally, he found the answer. That answer was painting rice cake doesn't satisfy. hunger. A painting of rice cake doesn't satisfy a hunger. Satisfy hunger. This is his answer. So usually this his saying has been misunderstood or understood in narrow sense. So Dogen Zenji try to say about this message in deep sense and tell us what it will mean, what it means in a deep sense. So this is a chapter. This is a chapter. This chapter, painting of rice cake. Point is most important point in this chapter is to concentrate on not satisfy hunger. This is a point. What it means. And painting of rice cake is also important. Well, painting of rice cake is, if you want to make a rice cake, you have to use rice, fire, or firewood, many things. But simply speaking, you have to use rice for making rice cake. Same applied to human life, human beings are produced by five standards: form, feelings, perceptions, impulses, consciousness. Simply speaking, nature, if you want to know nature, nature also is produced by trees, birds, skies, the suns, the moons, etc. If you want to paint the nature, you have to use the watercolor, the brush, canvas, same applied to Buddha. Buddha is also nothing but the painting of rice cake, because Buddha is produced by arousing body-mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana. And also if he started to paint his life by means of arousing body mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana, there are many kinds of Buddhas. According to tradition, there are 52 stages of Buddha's life. Simply speaking, there is Arahat, Bodhisattvas, and Shravaka, Pratik Buddhas, and Buddhas. So, very naturally, there are many Buddhas. But simply speaking, Buddha paint his life by using the arousing body-mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana. We also paint our lives using five candles. All sentient beings, all human beings, paint their life using the same things. Five candles. But when they start to paint their life, naturally there are many kinds of picture produced by human beings. Using his past life, his heredities, his memories, generally speaking, we say karmic life. So very naturally, there are many kinds of human beings. But generally speaking, human beings always paint their life by using the five standards generally. But concretely, there are many different kinds of human beings. So we as a painter, I think question is within the painter himself. How we as a painter use a watercolor, well, what kind of things we as a human being, as a painter, use to paint our life? If you use watercolor, so-called present. Think that color, by this color you can paint nature, you can paint your life, but still it's there now, just the present life. If you use the color of the present, the past, and the future, of course you can paint your life in a broad sense. Little better than the painting of human life in the present. Only. But still, there is pretty egoistic. If you use the past, the present, future in terms of individual views, very naturally they are used as individual life, not associated with others, natures, etc. And also past, present, future even can be seen in terms of universal perspective, but if they are separated, it's pretty difficult to paint human life in peace, in harmony on your canvas. In other words, past, present, future cannot be settled down on the canvas, connected each other and settled down in peace, because they are separated on the canvas. So very naturally, if you paint your life on the canvas, your life is there, which seems to be real life, but it's separate because we don't feel warmness, compassion, well, associated with other beings. So very naturally, painting your life, painted on the canvas, never settle down on the canvas in peace, in harmony, which is not alive. It's dead. It's cold. It's realistic only. No hope. No idealistical image of human life Bodhisattva mentions of. So very naturally, how we should use the colors. Five candles in terms of past, present, future, but they must be connected. They must be used totally, connected with it, with each other. That is, Buddha tried to do it. This Buddha uses past, present, future in circle, never separated. So Buddha produced his life, Buddha painted his life by using the color of body, mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana, which seems to be time process. Past, present, future, in terms of time process, we should see the development of our practice, progress of our practice. So very naturally, we should reach one by one, body, mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana. But if you paint the Buddha's life like this, just only in terms of a time process, body, mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana, all are separate. So very naturally, we have to use those color totally in harmony, not separated. So within the body mind, there is nirvana. Within the nirvana, there is the body mind must be found. In practice, body mind must be found, and enlightenment must be discovered. Nirvana must be alive there. So, if you see body mind, it must include practice, enlightenment, nirvana. That is Buddha's way. Buddha's way to paint his life. Understanding a past, present, future, but past is never separate from present. And the future is never separate from present. Past, present, future are all connected. So from this point, I think human life is, what is a human life? What is a human life as a Buddha? So human life is nothing but painting of rice cake. What is a Buddhism? Buddhism is nothing but the painting of rice cake. What is the truth of human life? Truth of human life is nothing but painting of human life. What is the Buddha's teaching? Teaching is nothing but the painting of human life, universe. That is a teaching. And so, teaching is painting of rice doesn't satisfy hunger. Human life is always hunger. We are hungry, always hungry. But this hunger is pretty deep. Hunger is not the concept of a hunger which your six senses get, experience. So this hunger is something very profound before you are conscious of it. So that is the point Buddhism tried to explain, tried to paint human world, human life. As a philosophy, as a psychology, anyway, as a morality, as ethics, as a precept, as a jhana, zazen itself. So as a philosophy, it is that hunger is called emptiness. And sometimes it is interdependent co-origination. Because hunger is not something you have created beyond you want to create or you don't want to create. We are already hungry. It's not bad word in a common sense. It's not a good word, but we are always hungry. So in a good sense, beyond the good sense or bad sense, anywhere we are hungry, always hungry. And then according to Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching, it is called anyway suffering. He says suffering. So suffering comes from the depth of human life, human world, before you are conscious of it. Beyond you like or dislike, anyway, suffering is already coming up.
So, that is not never satisfy hunger. So this hunger never be satisfied by anything, by your desire, by your success or failure, whatever it is, this hunger never be satisfied. Always hunger. But this hunger is very quiet, silent, but it's pretty dynamic. And also, it's supporting our life deeply, very much. If you become a painter, you try to produce masterpiece, but within the masterpiece, painter never satisfied. So, beyond his accomplishments, there is a hunger, very deep hunger, which encouraged him to continue to paint. Never stop. He never stopped. Beyond he likes or he doesn't like. But people really appreciate his accomplishments, which should help human life, human world, in terms of human culture. It's very helpful for us. But he himself never satisfied. So constantly he tried to, anyway, produce another masterpiece. So in his life, just the flow of his effort can be discovered. What makes it possible for carry out the flow of his effort as a painter? It is hunger. His hunger. Very deep hunger. It's suffering for him, but it's really great encouragement. That encouragement is actualized as flow of effort under all circumstances, nurturing his sensibility toward colors, nature's rhythm of total reality in nature. He is sensible of the nature, sensible of a color, sensible of activity of nature, activity of colors, activity of his body and mind. So, in a sense, it is a suffering, but it's not the usual suffering, because it is very deep, which always encourages us deeply to live, to understand, to hear, to see, under all circumstances. That's why we cannot escape hunger. Cannot escape from suffering. That's why if you understand this hunger, how hungry we are, how deep suffering is, then we can discover total freedom. Total freedom is nothing to satisfy forever. Nothing to satisfy means just flow of energy, flow of life. Activity of life, flow of activity, that's it. So flow of activity doesn't have another any purpose for its own activities, because activity itself has its own purpose within activity. So nothing, there is nothing that the objective purpose why we have to do this or not. So just flow of activity there. So that is never satisfy hunger. But in common sense, we say painting of rice cake never satisfy hunger. That means human life is nothing but the painting. Because we using the words, you know, experience, culture, material, and body or mind, by using the many things and try to explain our life, but it is nothing but anyway painting. So painting never satisfies your hunger. So from this point, human world, what you can see, what you can experience is nothing but the painting, which is called provisional being, existence, we said. If you say human life, what you can see is considered as a provisional existence, it immediately is something separate from a total reality. Total reality is provisional being, and also nature, the original nature of existence, all come together, all come together and working together. Past, present, future, all come together and work together right now, right here. This is a total reality, or true reality, we can say. So, according to the teaching, we always analyze the picture of a human life, the truth, Dharma nature, and also the provisional existence and the middle way, according to Tendai teaching. But if you learn this teaching very naturally, human life is lower level, put in the lower level than Dhamma nature, or Dhamma body, Dhamma kaya. So our human body, human life is not important. Or we say human world is dirty. So we put naturally, consciously or unconsciously, lower level than Buddha's life, Bodhisattva life. But this is very common, so called dualistic. But according to non-dualism, I think there is no particular separation. So non-dualism is complete beyond satisfy or not satisfy, satisfaction or not satisfaction. There is something. That something is true reality. You can see, you can hear, you can deal with. But if you explain it in a word, it is analyzed, so-called emptiness and provisional existence and middle way, temporary. But this is explanation. My explanation is nothing but painting a rice cake which never satisfies. But this is not something wrong. The teaching itself is what? Something we should put it in the lower level in comparison with something else. The painting of rice cake never satisfy it. Unfortunately, it's very sad, very sorry for human beings, because constantly we want to know. So we have to continually explain it. But we cannot escape from this explanation, this way of understanding human life by explaining, by using five skandhas and teachings, and it's a past, present, future. But without painting a rice cake, there is no way to realize what truth is. So where is the truth? Truth is something separate from painting a rice cake. Or truth is somewhere beyond the everyday painting a rice cake, or somewhere separate from everyday life painting a rice cake. This is Dogen Zenji tried to explain this, his message, little by little, step by step, in deep sense. It's very interesting, the chapter. Because usually people believe human life we see, we hear, are very contaminated. That is, unconsciously we take it like this. Unconsciously we take such a view on human life, human world. But what it means that Chogen Zen Master mentions about that. But his answer to the question is pretty deep, because question was that saying something about the self before parents' birth. Not self through the six senses or not six senses. Because unconsciously we don't understand what's the self before your parents' birth. We don't understand it. By your consciousness, we don't understand the self about self before your parents' birth. How can we know? So beyond the consciousness or unconsciousness, it is a something. We don't know what it is. Something beyond. Beyond means we cannot poke our head into it. But it exactly exists every day. That's the point which his teacher asked him. And then his answer to this question is like this. If so, his answer shouldn't be understood in narrow sense, in terms of our common sense. So there must be something profound. That's why, because this answer comes from the passage of 8 years, the space of 8 years or 10 years. You know, our experience, there are two important points, okay? There are two important points in our experience. There is a thickness, thick, thickness of years of your practice. Okay? In other words, time process. Thickness of years of your life practice. That is the one point. Secondly, thickness of years of your practice is actualized right now. In true reality, this is called in the true reality. In the true reality of your life, you have to see your life sickness of years of your life. Simultaneously, it is actualized and alive. So between actualization of the sickness and sickness of years, never be separated. But usually we see always separation. In separately, we try to judge or understand the human life or your life. So if you practice for many, many years, we respect. Because we always say we practice for many, many years. Then that is a measurement, a stick, yardstick, how valuable your practice, your life is. But we don't pay attention to actualization of the thickness of years, which is alive day by day. So, very naturally, in terms of just the thickness of years of practice, you can explain it. You can explain it how deep our life is. Sure. But there is something missing. That missing is to ignore the total actualization of the thickness of the years, day by day, from moment to moment. Buddha did. Buddha's life is exactly like that. Between that, between two, never separation. But on the other hand, if you always pay attention to the just actualization of the thickness, we don't pay attention to the thickness of years, means how deep your life is. You just look at the present life, you know. Teacher's life, present life, because people respect. So very naturally, you put him in a certain stage, high stage. We don't see the background. Background is philosophy, psychology, physics, ages, circumstances, heredities, many things there. So it's very dangerous if you see human life, you know, the excessively just in terms of one side, so-called, you know, the actualization of your life, or just thickness of years, you create naturally something dangerous. So, very naturally, we have to understand the Buddha's message and ancestors' sayings. Tell us how we should understand ancestors' Buddha's message, because usually we misunderstood, or usually we understand them in narrow sense. So this is a chapter, Painting of Rice Cake. So very interesting chapter. Then next, in the Shobo Genzo, Dogen Zenji mentions about the total dynamic working, whole works there. And then next he mentions about the moon. So I think this is very interesting. Here, this chapter, painting of right scale, focus on generally what human life is, what human world is, what universe is. Universe, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, whatever you can see, you can talk, all are nothing but the painting of rice cake. Exactly. So it is kind of an abstract explanation of the world. Not abstract, you know. General explanation of the world. Then next, how we should, what kind of attitude we should take toward this painting of rice cake. What kind of attitude is right, appropriately for us. That is a dengi, the whole work. Next, moon. Then he explains in concrete way, painting of rice cake is not abstract explanation of the human world. When you see the moon, that within the moon there is exactly a vastness of universe there. When you see human world in terms of the moon, everything becomes moon. So moon should be seen from many angles, not only the naturalistic point of view, not only the physics point of view. Anyway, we have to see the moon from many angles. And then moon's alive in our life. But usually we see the moon just in terms of one side or two sides, that's it. So moon is separate from us. So moon is nothing but the painting of rice cake. But painting of rice cake never satisfies hunger. Means moon is constantly exist in the universe as flow of activity. That's it. Beyond satisfaction of human desire or unsatisfaction of desire, complete beyond, moon is moon. Then, in terms of the moon, you can see, you can taste what the human world is. Human world is nothing but the painting of rice cake, which means nothing but flow of activities. Okay? Let me read the first paragraph. Okay, I think the painting of rice cake will be found in this book, Moon in the Dewdrop. All Buddhas are realization, thus all things are realization. Yet it is neither one nature nor one mind. Although it is neither one nature nor one mind, at the moment of realization, each single realization actualizes without hindrance. At the moment of actualization, each single actualization comes forth without opposing one another. This is the straightforward teaching of the ancestors. Do not use the measure of oneness or difference as the criterion of your study. Thus, it is said, to penetrate one Dharma is to penetrate myriad Dharmas. To penetrate one Dharma does not take away the original nature that one Dharma comes from, nor sets one Dharma relative, nor not relative. To set it not relative is a hindrance. When you allow penetration to be unhindered by penetration, one penetration is myriad penetrations. One penetration is one Dharma. Penetrating one Dharma is penetrating myriad Dharma. All Buddhas are realization. Originally is called Sho in Japanese, which means literally verification or proof. Verification or proof. So that is sometimes realized, it is translated as a realization or enlightenment. So there are three kinds of enlightenment. One is awareness. Second is usual sense of enlightenment, satori, we say. The third is sho, realization, according to usual translation. So awareness, enlightenment, and sho, verification or realization, we say. So if you analyze a little bit, there is a little difference, nuance there. Awareness is still activity, a deep activity, deep action, deep activity of consciousness as a first experience. When you get into the depth of human world, then you can aware. The second, the enlightenment is the awareness gradually penetrating your body and mind, everyday life, and then its awareness appears. At that time it is called satori, or enlightenment, we say. But the show, verification, realization is a little bit different from the first one, awareness or enlightenment. Because it is activity of freedom. Activity of freedom. Freedom is completely not restrained in a broad sense. In a narrow sense, freedom is allow individual right or individual desire. Individual right means individual subjectivity to grow, to be. That is freedom. No restraint, but in narrow sense there is individual right, individual subjectivity to be or to grow. So freedom is kind of, in the freedom there is nothing to say, nothing to touch it. But on the other hand, within the nothing to touch, there is something to be to allow, to be allowed. So called individual subjectivity as it is, beyond your desire itself. This is a right. So freedom allows you to have individual right. That is true subjectivity there. Okay? According to Dogen, this is a total manifestation, we say. Manifestation, subjectivity, true subjectivity is just manifestation. Trees, just manifestation of the trees, beyond human judgment. That is true subjectivity of the tree. Individual, you, your true subjectivity is complete beyond human judgment, evaluations. But within that true subjectivity, there is nothing to touch it, nothing to evaluate, nothing to poke it into it, but it's there. So within the freedom, you have to see the boss, two things. Nothing beyond your evaluation, judgment, and, you know, but there is something important that is total manifestation. We say genjo. Dogen Zenji uses genjo, means actualization or manifestation in immediate present. That is so-called subjectivity. Within the subjectivity, there is egolessness, because nothing to say. Within an egolessness, there is a total subjectivity exists. We have to see both. That is a wisdom and freedom. Okay? Freedom. So, show as the realization or verification or proof. I think it means activity of freedom. Activity of freedom.